and welcome to an in-betweenisode of Up in Dead English with Reza and Craig, with special guest Jill. Jill Hamilton is a good friend and ex-colleague of mine from the British Council, who I've known for many years and admired as a wonderful teacher. So I'm very happy that she's agreed to come on the show and share her experience with you. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill. The money I paid you is obviously worthwhile.
Yes.
Morning to you.
It's lovely. Good morning. It's lovely to have you here.
That's
well, we're sitting here in my flat waiting for Reza.
Yeah, strange that he's not here.
Which is not unusual, waiting for Reza. Do you know where he is? Has he contacted you?
He's not said anything to me, but I suppose he might be on the way.
He could be, yeah.
What time does he usually arrive? Is he punctual?
Well, he usually arrives fashionably late,
maybe
10 minutes late. Where do you think he is?
He might be on the way, I suppose. It's been raining this morning, so usually there's traffic problems in Valencia, so maybe traffic lights might not be working. If he comes on the bus...
He could be on the bus.
Could be on the bus, stuck at some traffic light or something. He might... Strange that he's not phoned, though, or sent you a message.
That's unusual, yeah. He may be having coffee with an attractive young Spanish girl.
Oh, right, OK. So a little bit more interesting than what we're about to talk about. The truth be said, he's...
Actually, he's teaching. I know he's teaching. He can't be having coffee. He can't be having coffee because I know he's teaching now in the British Council, and unfortunately, he can't be with us today.
What a shame.
I'd like to speak with Jill this lesson about modal verbs. Now, I know we've spoken about modal verbs before in episodes 23, 24, and 26.
Wow.
We spoke about modal verbs, so you can go and listen to those episodes again and look at the show notes. And I will put a link to those episodes in the show notes at inglespodcast.com. But Jill, let's have a quick review of modal verbs and then look at modal verbs in the past. So
could we
have chosen a more difficult topic?
Could be a difficult topic. It's one students, not in the sort of using them in the present, don't necessarily have great difficulty. Maybe they always question the difference between might and could.
How do you teach that? Do you teach that there's a difference in probability or possibility between might, could, and may?
Say one is sort of slightly less possible.
Right.
But depends on the level, really, a bit. If it's a lower level, I just say don't sweat over it. Don't get any headaches over it. They can be interchangeable. And if anything comes up where obviously one is correct and not the other, then say so. But generally at that level.
Because in textbooks, they tend to teach modal verbs. They don't lump them together and put them together all at the same time. Even modal verbs, modal verbs of possibility and probability,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, they do.
But you'd find sort of must and can't together.
Yeah.
It must be, it can't be for probability. In one part of the course book, and then you'd find might and may in another. Might and could in another part of the course book.
But there's not. I haven't found that students have great difficulty at lower levels. They get tongue-tied when they start throwing it into using them in the past. But might, may, could.
Okay.
Must.
Yes.
Yeah, must and should, I suppose. Are you considering should in there as well, presumably?
He should be here soon.
He must be here. You wouldn't say must. Should and must students get worried about and use wrongly as well.
Especially Spanish students, because they translate it as debería.
Debería.
Yeah.
Instead of tiene que.
Yeah.
Whatever. But,
so let's clarify that for the students. So he must be in class now. Reza must be in class now. And he should be in class now.
Yes.
How would you explain the difference between...
He should be in class now, meaning that possibly he's not.
Right.
Get that idea, no?
Yes.
And maybe he's done a runner and decided not to go, but that's where he should be.
He's run away.
Yeah. He must be in class. I think they are going back to sort of deducing there, aren't you, really?
Do you use percentages with your students to show them how strong the possibility is? Would you say, for example, must be would be 90-95%?
I haven't actually, but that might be a good way of getting around it. Mm-hmm. Saying, you know, the possibilities are stronger here. Would you find a difference between he must be in class and he should be in class?
He's more obligation. And must be is more
true.
Deduction and
yeah,
and very, very strong possibility. He must be in class because his class started at 10:30. Now it's 11:00.
Yeah,
he must be in class. I'm speculating. Yeah. I can't see him. If I can see him teaching, he is in class.
Yeah, right. Maybe he's not.
Of course, if we did not know that Razor was teaching, and he's not here yet, we would say he should be here by now. He should be here by now.
Yeah, and you're expressing a bit of surprise there and concern, really,
mm-hmm.
aren't you?
Yeah, why isn't he here? He should be here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think if Spanish students are translating there, they would use that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Debería estar aquí.
Yeah, exactly. Debería estar
That's
aquí.
Strange.
He should be here.
Yeah.
So, and also there are problems with must and can't because of must being also obligation. So you'd have must, I must do my homework, for example, and I have,
Using the negative. Thinking that the negative of must as speculation, the negative obviously is mustn't, no? Instead of can't.
Right, because
if you're speculating, if it's positive, it's almost sure. He must be in class.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're saying that's not possible, you've got to use he can't be in class because he's ill or...
Exactly. He can't be on the bus because he's teaching.
Yeah. Exactly. But you're sort of saying that something is definitely not possible.
Right.
But the confusion there is they tend to use the opposite of must when they want to... With the meaning they want to use is he mustn't be on the bus... What they're trying to say is he can't be on the bus.
Yeah, dogs mustn't be on the bus. Yes. Horses mustn't be on the bus. But Razor can be if he wants to.
Yeah. So that's going back to deduction, really, and speculating, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's sort of trying to find an explanation for something or an explanation for why something is definitely not.
So would
not
you
possible.
So how would that translate in Spanish? I mean, the difference between the opposite of must for obligation being mustn't and the opposite of must for probability being can't. Is that, I mean, would you help your students by translating
mustn't.
It or not?
Translating it? With difficult translation, I find that, and my Spanish is quite good. I don't know how I would get around translating mustn't, meaning a negative of an obligation. Is that what you're trying to say?
No deberías. No
deberías estar.
Es prohibido.
No puede estar. No, there's no difference in Spanish. No puede estar en clase.
Mm-hmm. He can't be.
Yeah, and no debe estar en clase.
He mustn't be. Yep, well, that
no
helps.
No debe estar en clase.
That helps. Okay, well, I hope we've clarified that must or confused you.
Or confused you even more. A bit of a headache.
So we've looked at must and can't and must and...
Might and may.
Might and may and could. What one problem that my Spanish students often have, and I'm sure you've had this before, Jill, overuse of can for when things are generally possible.
Would you use if you think it's overused?
Well, overused in the respect that students would use can instead of could or might. Let's say Razor could be on the bus.
Yeah.
And many students might say Razor can be on the bus, meaning possibility.
All right, okay.
Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you there. So Razor could be on the bus if you're sort of trying to find an explanation for why he's not here. And Razor can be on the bus. That's an interesting one. That is an interesting one. Razor can be on the bus.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't say that. That sounds completely wrong.
But it's up. But that's quite common.
Do they say that? Students have said.
Students say that. I've heard that a few times. Overusing can. When it's not for ability, I can swim. I can speak French.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
It's often used for possibility, probability, when what they really want to say is could or might.
Okay. So how do we get around that one then? Let me think. Could be on the bus, can be on the bus. Can be on the bus. It just sounds wrong. I don't know.
It's...
What? How? Or even why a Spanish would... Puede estar en el autobús? I suppose they could say that, translating it. Puede.
Puede estar en el autobús?
Yeah.
As a could
as you, meaning can be. Can, you can be on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't. You wouldn't use that as a prediction. No, you wouldn't use can.
Wouldn't use
in any case, you're predicting there, aren't you? You're speculating.
Mm-hmm.
You're finding an explanation. And we don't. You don't use can.
For speculation.
For speculation. You use could.
Could and might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't use can.
You wouldn't use can. So remember, listeners, no can if you're speculating or speaking about probability.
Use can't. Use the negative, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be ill or it can't be in class to speculate negatively, but not
in the
positive sense.
Correct.
Yeah.
So let's recap. Let's summarise briefly what we've talked about so far. So must and can't. He must be teaching. He can't be on the bus.
Yeah, and be careful that the negative of must in that sense is not mustn't.
Right.
Yeah. We're talking about mustn't is only really prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
Not to find an explanation for a situation.
Right.
Or speculate. No. So must and can't would be opposites. It's like have to and don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah? Students think that the opposite of I have to get up early tomorrow morning, the opposite is I don't have to, which is not the same.
No es necesario.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another one they sort of confuse.
That's right, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also said using could and might or couldn't and mightn't, might not and could not for... speculation and possibility.
Yeah. Might rain.
Mm-hmm.
Could rain this afternoon. Might not rain. But you wouldn't say it couldn't rain this afternoon, would you?
No, you wouldn't. That's true. You wouldn't say it couldn't rain because, again, that
you'd only use the negative there of might.
Right, right. Good point.
He might.
It might not rain.
He might not come. He couldn't come means it wasn't possible.
No
he had
podía.
A problem.
No podía.
Mm-hmm. He had a problem, so he couldn't come. But he might not come.
Mm-hmm.
Is, well, there is a possibility of him appearing.
Right.
So, problem there again with a negative, with a different meaning.
Yes, absolutely. And also we said probably may and may not, we wouldn't use so much for possibility and probability.
That's my
more for
personal,
permission. No, I agree with you.
Permission,
more,
yes.
And may I have a biscuit?
Sounds so, you know, formal that.
It
may
does.
May I use your phone? May I... Mm-hmm. Speaking to the Queen, maybe, but...
Okay, so just might and could then.
I
for
would concentrate and worry about might and could.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on then. Let's move on to putting these modal verbs in the past, which is another kettle of fish, as they say. So,
So we've got the same... We'll use the same modals, you know, the must, might, could,
mm-hmm.
and can't, plus have...
Mm-hmm.
And then the participle.
And the past participle. Yep. So modal verb plus have plus past participle.
When you're sort of speculating, finding an explanation for something in the past.
For example, Reza taught today. He had an early lesson. He must have got up early.
Yep. And we were trying to explain why he wasn't here with us today. We could have said he might have slept in.
He might have slept in.
His alarm clock might not have rung.
He
might not have heard his alarm.
He might have been abducted by aliens.
Yes, that happens frequently in Valencia.
He might have been kidnapped by ISIS or ISIS. Or ISIS.
ISIS, yes.
ISIS.
Yes,
or the CIA,
some,
even.
Or some Irish group saying, come back to Ireland, Reza, please.
He might have been kidnapped.
Can't have been kidnapped. That's not likely, is it?
He might have had a hangover if he
That's
went
true.
Out last night.
He likes going out at night and a few drinks, so he might have, not been feeling too good this morning,
mm-hmm.
decided, I'm not going to go.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jill. Now that you don't have regular classes and you must have lots of spare time, I suspect you must have been happy to be sleeping later in the morning.
You'll be surprised that I in theory should be happy being able to sleep longer and not have to get up every day at a specific time. But for some reason, my body clock still rings.
You still get up early?
7.
Really?
Don't necessarily get up at 7, but 8 o'clock, I'm on the move.
Actually, yeah, it's true. I sent you a message a few days ago about coming here today, and I sent it about 7:30 or 7:45.
That's
eight.
What you did.
And I thought, Jill's probably, she must be sleeping.
Nope.
She can't be awake. And you replied immediately, and I was surprised.
I'm definitely a morning person. Get me to do anything in the morning, I'm fine.
You're right.
In theory, I should be enjoying more free time and not having to get up, but I don't have to get up, but I do.
Well, it might take a while for you to get used to the new hours. So maybe it takes you a while to accustom yourself
to
get used to.
Not having to do things at specific times, having to look at the watch. So, yes.
So let's look a little at pronunciation, because I noticed we just said that very naturally, didn't we? We said Reza must have...
That contraction
must have got up early.
Is a problem sometimes, because as you said in one of your... WhatsApps, is it not of?
Mm.
Students sometimes write, when they hear it, must have, they write down must and then of, O-F.
Well, I'll tell you a secret. Now, don't tell anybody this.
You do that. You used to do that.
Before I started studying teaching and grammar, I grew up for 20 years thinking it was must of or can't of, O-F.
I think that's probably quite an unusual mistake
And I was surprised when I said, well, it's not have, it's of. And the trainer looked at me as though I was from another planet. He said, "No, you need to study this, Craig, if you want to teach it. It's must have, must have." Yes. But it sounds like of.
It does sound like of. I always tell students, imagine you've been hit in the stomach and go oof,
oof, oof.
Get that sound and just. Drill it. Because although they might have difficulty repeating it, they've got to get used to hearing it when they're doing listenings.
Yes, because
they don't catch it.
It's often used as a distractor in FCE listenings.
Yeah. And as you say, you do it naturally. So if they're doing now most listenings in books, they're trying to make the sort of listenings as natural as possible. So people are using that contraction and then running it into whatever verb. So I used to spend quite a long time just in class doing must have, should have, could have, would have.
And not only is the have a weak form of, not have, but of, but it also often connects and links to the final consonant on the word before.
Exactly.
So must finishes with a T.
Must have.
So must have. It really becomes
might
one
have.
Sound,
might
one
have.
Word.
Yeah.
Might have.
Might have. Mm-hmm. Could have.
Could have. Could have.
Would have, should have. And then you get complicated when you start using the negatives. Shouldn't have.
Shouldn't have.
Shouldn't have. Couldn't have.
So let's give the listeners some examples. Reza must have got up early.
He should have phoned you this morning to say he wasn't coming.
He should have phoned me.
Yeah. He might have phoned, but you didn't hear...
He could have phoned very early, and I wasn't awake.
And you were in the gym,
or
I
must have been in the gym.
You must have been in the gym, so you.
That's listen to that. Must have been in the gym.
He must have been in the gym.
He must have been in the gym.
That rhythm going
must have been in the gym. He must have been in the gym.
He can't have been in class.
He must have been in the gym.
So there you are. So
practice that at home for a few hours.
Say the same phrase, but keep substituting the verb for another verb. He must have been in the gym. He must have gone to the gym. He must have seen you in the gym.
He must have said hello.
He must have fallen in the gym.
He must have had a shower after. He can't have gone home sweaty.
I still insist he should have phoned you.
He should have phoned.
Yeah,
he should have.
He should have sent you a message.
Should have.
Should have.
Should have. Should have. He should have phoned me.
Yeah.
He should have phoned me.
Shouldn't have. He shouldn't have not appeared. There's a double negative. Students used shouldn't not. That's not possible. How can you use shouldn't and then not? It's like he can't not have seen your message.
He He can't not have seen your message.
Students say, hang on, stop there. Don't you tell us we can't have double negatives. You say, yes, but.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
He can't not. Yeah, you leave a big, enormous message on the door saying, I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you speak to him later, and he said, why didn't you come? I left a message on the door. You can't not have seen it.
It was in your face.
It's right under your nose.
But it's easier to say you must have seen it.
Yeah, obviously that's
you
the alternative. You can't
not have seen
but
it.
But you still can say you can't not have done it.
Interesting. Okay. One more point, Jill, now that we've looked at some translation. Got to for have to.
Oof.
Did you teach that at intermediate level? For example,
I've got
have
to
for obligation, I've got to. It's very English, isn't it? Americans maybe wouldn't say that.
But we use it a lot.
We do, don't we?
We do use it a lot more than I have to, I think.
I've got to buy some new slippers.
You've got to do it before
you've got
lunchtime.
To do it. Yep.
I've got to pay this afternoon. We use that far more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, in books, it tends to be when you start looking at grammar explanations, they tend to use I have to. I have to pay this afternoon, I have to phone him, I have to do this. But then they put in the grammar points. It's also correct to use I've got to.
Okay, I have no more notes here. So anything you'd like to add, Jill, about modal verbs in the past, modal verbs in general?
Modal verbs, should and
pronunciation.
Shouldn't have. The other one that the students sometimes confuse is using must have and should have.
You mean they're confusing must in meaning?
In meaning, yeah.
Must have and should have.
Yeah. Debería saber. Yeah, debería saber is...
Debería saber, you must have.
No, debería saber...
You must have.
Or no debería saber. If somebody comes back, having been on the beach all day and they're bright red because they haven't used any sun cream...
Right.
You could sort of say, you should have used your sun cream or you shouldn't have stayed out in the sun so long.
No deberías
haber. Yeah, so like criticism... You're criticizing.
You shouldn't have stayed in the sun so long without sun cream.
But students sometimes say you mustn't have stayed out in the sun so long.
I see what you mean. You mustn't have done that.
Yeah,
that's a common mistake.
You must have used. If you say you must have used sun cream,
I'm sure you did, because you didn't burn.
Yes. But it could also have the meaning that they want to say is you should have. Students want to say you should have, as advice, used sun cream.
As advice in the past.
Yes.
Because they came back from the beach, they're
looking,
burned, they're red as a tomato.
And they've been sitting out in the hottest part of the day. And...
It's stinging, it's hurting, I'm in pain.
So, you should have taken your beach umbrella, or you shouldn't have forgotten to use your sun cream.
You should have put sun cream on and you shouldn't have laid in sun so long. Yep.
But students would sometimes say, you must have used sun cream.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying you've not burned, you must have used sun cream, but you must have used sun cream trying to criticise something they did wrong.
So really that use of should in the past is the same as should for advice. You
it
should
is.
Go for the doctor, you should put sun cream on when you go to the beach.
Exactly.
You shouldn't lay in the sun too
past,
long.
The past seems to be something that somebody's done,
mm-hmm.
and you're sort of saying, that was not very good of you, no, that was a bit not very sensible.
Yes.
And then you've got the other meaning. There's another one we haven't got in there, is the needn't and need.
Oh, let's talk about needn't.
But I was just thinking of with should, the other meaning of should, when somebody invites you for lunch or dinner and you take a bottle of wine or flowers or a box of chocolates, and you say, oh, you shouldn't have really done that.
You shouldn't have.
You shouldn't have bothered.
You shouldn't have bothered.
So that's another shouldn't have. But it's not the same meaning
right,
as you shouldn't have sat in the sun all day.
Yeah.
That's more you needn't have. Wasn't necessary for you to
do it. Wasn't necessary, yeah. Mm. You shouldn't have brought a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
You really shouldn't have. Yeah, yeah.
You really shouldn't have.
You shouldn't
you
really, have.
You needn't have.
That's so kind.
You needn't have.
So need and needn't. So need in the sense of...
You need... Necessity.
Necessity.
So like an obligation almost, but not strong, no?
Mm-hmm.
Need to go to the doctor. should go to the doctor, must go to the doctor.
Is it used in a positive or just a negative? You need have... only in the negative, I think. You needn't have...
You needn't have...
You needn't have...
No, you wouldn't use it.
You wouldn't use it in the positive. You need of, no. So it's only negative, listeners. You needn't have...
Saying something was unnecessary to do.
Yes.
Yeah?
You needn't have...
Wasted your time.
Wasted your time. You needn't have brought chocolates.
Yeah.
You needn't have brought the wine. You
needn't have listened to this episode of modal verbs.
No, you needn't have listened all the way through to the end.
Don't you find you still don't understand them? Or we haven't clarified anything.
But, well, I think we could have actually reached...
Got through
the end now. So I think
I don't think there's anything else we should have touched mentioned.
No, I think if things are not clear, if you would like more clarification on modal verbs and modal verbs in the past, please let us know. You can send us an email or a sound file. We now on the webpage have an automatic orange button that you click and record your voice. So if you have a microphone connected to your computer, you can just click the box, send us a voice message, and we will include it in a future podcast. And that's at inglespodcast.com. So send us a comment, send us a question. If you want my email address, it's craig@inglespodcast.com. Or for Reza, it's belfastreza at gmail.com. And if you do get in touch with us, if you do send us an email or a voicemail, I have two questions for you. Number one, how did you find our show? And number two, what would you like us to talk about on the show in the future? So please let us know. And remember, you can learn English free at mansioningles.com, and you can take your English to the next level with our audio podcasts at inglespodcast.com. And thank you very much to Jill for being our special guest today. It's lovely to have you here. And I hope, if you enjoyed it, that you'd come back another day with Reza and I.
Anytime.
And speak again on another topic.
Absolutely. Delighted.
Thank you very
no
much.
Problem.
If you want to see or know more about Jill, you can find an interview I did with her on YouTube. Go to YouTube. Our channel is La Mención del Inglés. And it's in the Coffee with Craig series. So it's Coffee with Craig and Jill. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later, and it's licensed by Creative Commons under a by NC license at ccmixter.org.